I have been told at times that I'm a good listener. I was in the home of a woman on hospice, would die a day or two later, and the woman who provides the health care for the hospice patient came to me later and said, "You are so comfortable just sitting beside her and talking and listening to her, or just sitting quietly and not saying anything, even when she's quiet." And I appreciated that comment. I know a friend that I talk with regularly, he has said at times, "Next time I'm going to let you talk," because he's a talker and I'm more of a listener. But sometimes I also find that I don't pick up on things. I misinterpret people's words or their attitude or feelings, and I miss opportunities to connect deeper. Sometimes Catherine and I will be together and in the house, and she'll say something, and I'll realize, okay, she just said something. I have no idea what it was. So I will sometimes say to her, I'm sorry, what did you just say? And now sometimes she'll say, well, but other times she'll say, I don't remember. And we're at that age when that opportunity for communicating and intimacy is gone because I wasn't listening and she wasn't remembering. But listening is important for a relationship. Probably not speaking out loud in front of everybody is also important, but I haven't learned that lesson either. But it's important not only for our relationships, but also for our spiritual relationships. And Jesus, I think, is talking about the importance of listening today in our passage. Sometimes passages of Scripture can sort of stand on their own, but this one I don't think does, in part because of the way it begins. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, what sayings? If you are looking in your Bible, you'll see that just before that, Luke has told the story of Jesus asking the disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And you've heard that story before that, well, some people say you're John the Baptist. Other people say you're Elijah or one of the other prophets risen from the dead. And Jesus says, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter nails it and he says, "You are the Messiah of God." And then Jesus commands and exhorts them to not tell anybody this, because he's going to be turned over to the religious leaders and suffer and die and rise again. And then he goes on to say, if anybody wants to follow me and be my disciple, he must deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me. And he continues along that line for a little bit. What good is it to save all your whole? What good is it? What? Never mind. But Jesus dwells on that a little more. So here's what Jesus says. He says to them for the first time, "I'm going to die." And then he says, "I want you to die." The way I'm going to become the Messiah, the way I'm going to become the King of Israel, is I'm going to die for my people. And I want you to die. Do you think they heard that? Do you think they got that? I don't think they did. I think that's something we as a church throughout time has struggled with. That Jesus turns the world upside down and says, dying is the way to life. Giving is the way to get. So we have this story. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. This is a time of prayer. Jesus is going to experience this voice from God in the midst of prayer. That should hearken back for us to the baptism of Jesus, where he was also praying. And while he was praying, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and the Spirit, the voice of God the Father, spoke to him. Now here's another time when he's in prayer. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. That brightness, I take it to mean that his face was bright as well. And that is sort of a glimpse or a connection with Old Testament when God would show up. The bright light represented God maybe in the Old Testament it wasn't in the flesh, but in person. He showed up with this bright light. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, possibly representing the law and the prophets. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. The word departure, the Greek, I believe, is exodos, which of course means exit or exodus, and refers back to the exodus in the Old Testament. In Exodus, you get it? Exodus? And where God delivered through Moses his people, now God was going to deliver his people again, this time through Jesus and through his death and resurrection. Now, to me, this next part is either sad or funny, depending on how you look at it. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. That sort of reminds me of what is going to happen in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is about to be arrested and he goes to pray and the disciples keep falling asleep. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. So Peter and James and John wake up and they've missed some of this. And it seems that Moses and Elijah are leaving, and Peter says, no, wait here. Let's build a tent. Let's keep this going. Let's continue this experience. If you had a great experience at DNOW, you may say, let's keep living DNOW. But you can't. It's going to be over soon, and you have to go and live as you were before. Hopefully changed by the experience, but back in your regular routine. So Peter is making these suggestions, not really, and Luke is telling us he didn't really know what he was doing. While he was saying this, while Peter was talking, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. That also would hearken back to Mount Sinai and Moses on the mountain meeting with God and receiving the law. When that was happening, the top of the mountain was covered with clouds and smoke. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent in those days. And in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. So they're in this mountaintop experience. And They've got lots of ideas of what ought to be going on. But as it comes to an end, God speaks and he says, listen to this is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Why did he have to say, listen? Why did God have to say, listen to him? He's Jesus. Wouldn't that be enough? Apparently not. I think part of what is going on here is that God knows that what they've heard from Jesus doesn't make sense to them. It doesn't fit into the mold. And when we hear things that we don't expect, it's often hard for us to hear it. The predictable response to any new idea is no, when you're trying to make a change anywhere, in any place. And in the same way, when you hear something you don't expect, you usually sort of push up against that and push back against it. They've done studies and asked people what they believe about a certain topic. And then they'll give them an article to read about that issue. And what they found is when people agree beforehand on the issue, they are convinced by the article. That's a good argument. That's a sound argument. And when beforehand they didn't agree with the argument, the idea, when they read the argument, they said, that's not a very good idea. That's not very convincing. In other words, what you already believe, you are easily convinced by the evidence by. And what you don't believe, you are not easily convinced by the evidence. In other words, we want what we already want. And so I think God is saying, listen to him, because they are prone to not want to listen to him and to say, no, 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 we have an understanding of what the Messiah is supposed to be like. And it doesn't happen in Luke, but it does in Matthew's gospel where Peter says, no, no, Jesus, that's not the way things work for the Messiah. And in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has to say, get behind me, Satan. Your ways are not God's ways. What I think Luke is saying here is that we need to listen carefully to Jesus because he rarely says what we expect him to say. We need to listen carefully because he rarely says what we expect him to say. Part of that is because of our expectations. Part of it is just because of our distractions. So what would help us listen well? What would help us hear God's voice? I want to give you some ideas from other folks that talk about how to listen well to God. One is Addie Johnson, who's associate pastor for spiritual formation in a small church in Colorado. She talks about how an opportunity changed her spiritual life. She said, a woman asked me to go with some others to a park and spend the morning in prayer. A whole morning in prayer. And she said she didn't really want to go, but the woman was so kind and winsome that she went, not because she thought anything would happen, but because the woman was so wonderful. And she says what they did is they drove to the park and they had a Bible, a journal, and a pen. And the woman said to Addie and the others, just go find a place and pray to God. Pretty quickly, Addie realized she wasn't going to talk to God for 3 hours straight. And instead, she began to sit and watch and listen. And she said, that moment changed my spiritual life. Because for the first time, she felt like she was hearing God speak, hearing God's voice. And she said because of that, she began to offer in her church later what she called group solitude. They would gather together people. They'd get in a van and drive to a park somewhere. And they would have wonderful conversation on the way to the park. And then they would be set out like she had been, set out on their own with a pen, a journal, and a Bible, and just spend the morning with God. When noon came, they would eat together, and then they would be offered either to go for a hike or others could stay and pray. No judgment on either choice. And she said that changed her. This morning, I'm making my way through the book of Psalms as my devotional material. And what I'll do is I'll read a psalm and then read a commentary on it. I've done that before with a different commentary. I'm using another one. And I happen to be at Psalm 46. If you're counting through the year, you'll find I'm behind. And 46 just happened to be the passage that I'm going to quote from in just a moment. But what I've been doing is reading the passage and trying to understand. And usually when I read a psalm, I at the end of it, I say, I don't know what that means. I read the commentary and it sometimes helps. And what I'm trying to do is read it again and maybe even a third time to begin to make it a part. And I want, I hope later to get a copy of it, of that psalm, and read it throughout the day. I haven't done that yet, but I hope to do that. But Eugene Peterson talks about Psalm 46 and two commands that God makes in it. And he says, there are two ways, two commands that God gives to keep us out of the small idea of self-help and to gain the big idea of God's help. And the first command is, look, behold the works of the Lord. Behold the works of the Lord. And when we begin to look at God's creation, to remember what God has done in the scriptures, and to try and see what God is doing in the world today, we get a different perspective. We begin to pay attention and hear God and see God more clearly. The other part of Psalm 46, the other command, be still and know that I am God. Peterson says, rushing down the streets, hurrying and bustling, doesn't help us hear God's voice. He quotes Baron von Hugel, who said, nothing good was accomplished in a stampede. And if we can be still, if we can be quiet, that doesn't come naturally. I'm an introvert, and it doesn't come naturally to me. The first spiritual retreat I went on where I wanted to be quiet, I took about 10 books. Because I just couldn't imagine being quiet. I could imagine reading. But when you and I are quiet, when we disconnect from our phone, when we disconnect from a screen and are just quiet, God speaks. Frederick Faber says God speaks continually, but he's only heard when the noise is turned down. The other noises are turned down. If you can be quiet, if you can listen carefully, what will you hear? What will you hear God say? Erwin McManus is a pastor out in California, and I believe he's a El Salvadorian immigrant. when his son Aaron was 5 or 6 years old, he asked his dad, how can I hear God's voice? Or how can I know God's voice? And McManus said he didn't really know how to answer that. But fast forward several years to when Aaron is in middle school. He's gone to a middle school camp, I think it was a summer camp. And Irwin McManus drives up there to check on, I think it was a church camp, so he went as the pastor to see how things were going. And when he got there, he found out that his son Aaron wanted to get in a fight, had to be held back, was trying to fight with somebody. And when he found out his dad was here, he packed up his bags and said, I want to go home. And McManus said, I asked Aaron, let's go out, can we go out in the woods and talk before you go back? And they went out, and Irwin asked his son, have you heard a voice telling you what you need to do in this situation? And his son said, yes. He said, what did the voice say? The voice said, I need to stay and work it out. Do you know whose voice that is? And his son said, yes, it's God's. But that still doesn't mean I'm going to stay. And McManus said to his son, that's your decision. But I want you to know what happens if you don't listen to that voice. Because what could happen is that your heart could become hardened and your ears can become deaf to God's voice. Now his son ended up staying. Irwin McManus goes on to say that my son might not have left the church. He might not have rejected the faith. But he might not hear the word of God when it's spoken to him. He might not ever be a close follower of Jesus. Luke is telling us, listen carefully to Jesus, because he rarely says what we want him to say, what we expect him to say. And the only advice I have for you to hear that voice is,